That was a very pretty song. Thank you for that. I would ask now that you would give your attention and offer up a prayer for our brother as he would bring the message for this hour, Priest Stephen Kimball.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. I greet you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Glad to be here tonight, as usual. Get myself organized. Thinking, organizing, and talking at the same time are not one of my strong suits. Just got to find something here real quick. If I can. Maybe I won't find it. Meant to pull this up before I got here. Okay, good. I can use this. All right, so technology, I love it. So this morning, as I was sitting there, it's how I do things. I write a bunch of scriptures down that I want to talk about. I have no idea what order they're going to be. At some point, as proper I see fit, I order those scriptures around. And as I was listening to my brother's sermon this morning, and where he was going and what he was talking about, I thought about the scripture ironically, that he ended with, Mark 12. In Mark 12 is the scripture that he ended it with. And we'll turn to Mark real quick. But this was a scripture I hadn't written down, and I thought as he was preaching, you know, it's very interesting because when I started the sermon, I mean, one of the thoughts that I had, I started looking up bullying and its repercussions on the body of Christ and upon people, and you read about it, and bullying's a real thing, and it's hard. One of those things is hard. Anyways, it's not about bullying. And then I started, something else started bugging me that was in my mind, and Andy almost stepped all over it, and he kind of talked about it, but all I could think about was verse 31, because I always look, I need a starting scripture, and I need an ending scripture, because I'm trying to get things going, but I thought about scripture, and it was 31, because I figured when I heard his sermon this morning, you know, he was really touching on verse 30 there in Mark 12, verse 30, and I'll read this to you. You know, and I thought, well, I'll put that in there, and then sure enough, he ends with the scripture, and so I'm going to start where he ended last time, and I'll tell you my thoughts of what this sermon's going to be about today. Well, I'm just going to read 31, and you heard him this morning. If you're here, if not, you'll know this scripture. Verse 31 says, "And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And when I listened to the sermon this morning from my brother, that first verse, that verse 30, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." And when I heard him preach this morning, that's what I was thinking. He was preaching about that, and he ultimately read it with just a touch of that second verse there in 31. And I thought, well, you know, my sermon as I'm going along, my sermon's really about 31 with a touch of 30 in there. And so it was really neat of where I started in this sermon and where I ended up as I had all these scriptures. So I did write that in there, but I had thought about it. But this is really what this is about, and it's probably often what I preach about, is how we treat each other, how we work with each other on many different levels. And really, I want to sum up my sermon today. Not end, for you young kids, that does not mean end. Although you never know. So I'm going to go into Psalms, or Psalm. And I'll read Psalm 139. This is a Psalm of David. And he says, and this is in verses 23 and 24. I love this passage of scripture that he reads here. And this really sums up what I'm going to try to say today in the sermon. And it says in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." At some point in my life, I don't remember who it was, but as they were praying, it might have even been a sermon, they basically expressed these thoughts that I think David's trying to summarize here, you know. And I often make that same prayer as I'm praying many times. And it's the prayer in my mind is that, you know, I know what problems I have, Lord. I know I'm a sinner. I know I have these things that I need to correct. And sometimes I'm good at it, sometimes I'm not. But what I really need to know, Lord, is you know, search me. Show me the things that I am lacking that would not allow me to serve you. And it's a hard prayer, because sometimes we don't want to hear what it is because we think it's not a problem of ours. And it's often the case, you know, when something, the Lord brings something like that. But I think that's what David's saying here is, search me. You know, show me what is still wrong in me that I may change that. And I love that. And really, that's the summary of this sermon. And we're going to spend I don't know if you'd call a great deal of time, but we're going to talk about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And hopefully it will make some form of sense for some of you. All right, so let's turn. I want to turn to Luke 18, and this is the... Luke 18, I want to read 9 through 14. And it says this, in mine it says, the title is "The Parable of the Pharisee and the Publican." "He spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Now, what's interesting about this, this word extortioners, I looked up the definition of it. I know the word extort, so I had a feeling what it meant. But of course, it gave me the word rapacious, and I'm going to add that to my vocabulary. Let's not be rapacious, okay? It means extremely greedy. I mean, that word extortion, when you extort and you hear the word extort, you're thinking about somebody is basically stealing money from somebody. They're finding a way to steal that money away. But the publicans, I'm not going to... The publican was known, and please... I'm no great expert on the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Seems like any time you go to look something up, there's always controversy involved in everything. You know, it's everybody's got their own opinions and they want to change things. But a publican, for all practical purposes, was a tax collector. Now, as you read into it, I presume that they were probably Jewish tax collectors. They collected because they were among the Jewish people. I'm sure there was Roman tax collectors. Maybe they had people under them. Maybe they weren't Jewish at all. But they were looked upon by the Pharisees and the Sadducees as the scum of the earth. Now, I must say, I kind of have that feeling with the publicans and the Sadducees. I don't much like tax collectors. But this was different. Hopefully it's different, right? They did not like them. And as he makes that prayer, he says, men that are extortioners. That's what he's referring to with the publicans. It's kind of a, if you know what publicans are, you know, they believe that they were taking money from theirs that wasn't theirs. And as you read about it, the tax collectors also used it as a way that they had to make money. So, you know, maybe they had 10% they give to the Roman government. Well, they needed 10% to make their salary. So the publicans weren't always the most honest and righteous people out there either, and they had their problems, even though we do see several stories, and we'll read it, about the publicans being typically the humble person, as we read in this case where the publican was that humble person, that he saw himself as a sinner before God. But it's this Pharisee. You know, as I read his prayer, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. You know, I would look out here and I can almost guarantee nobody would ever say a prayer like that amongst this crowd. You wouldn't do it. But sometimes our actions say otherwise. And I'm not accusing anybody. Like I said with David, I want to know, you know, what else can be there? But as I look at these Pharisees and these Sadducees, we might never say this prayer, but we might make ourselves proud and boastful as we deal with others, whether in the church or out of the church, and we might find ourselves boastful not in saying those words, but in our actions and our thoughts, and maybe not directly in those words we might speak them. And that's what I see with these Sadducees and Pharisees. We don't want to be like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Christ used them time and time again. Let's read some things about this. Let's turn, and then I'll read about them. Acts 23. And I'm going to read 6 through 9 in this. And this is just an example of what we see, of what we were looking at when you looked at the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And Acts 23, 6 through 9 says this, but when Paul perceived that one or part were sad, okay, this is, he's before the, what they call the Sanhedrin, which was a 70-member council, as I saw, almost like a judgment panel, if you will. And there was, I think it was 70 members as I read about it, and they were made up of Pharisees and Sadducees, typically. And Pharisees and Sadducees were, I don't know what the word, a sect of Jews. They were a group of Jews that believed very similar to each other. And it says in 6 through 9, when Paul perceived that one, and again, I don't know if I said it, but Paul was before the Sanhedrin and he was speaking to him. Hopefully you know this story. But when Paul perceived that one or part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out to the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees both confess. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God. The Pharisees and the Sadducees hated Paul. But since he claimed, and this is a funny part, I looked this up, you know, was Paul actually a Pharisee? And it's amazing. People are questioning, you know, was he, maybe he was just lying to get them fighting against each other. And it's amazing the stuff and the time people have to put together to fight these things. It doesn't matter. I'm going to assume he was a Pharisee because he said it. But Paul, in saying that, he put them at odds against each other because they didn't like each other. They were a sect that neither one of them cared for the other. They were united on one front, that they didn't like Jesus because Jesus was taking their authority and their power away from them. And so they didn't like Jesus, and this was part of the persecution that took him to the cross. So we get a taste of who the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. And you see this word, it talked about the scribes. Let's read about the Pharisees. I'm getting ahead of myself here. All right, so this is, I'm getting this from Matthew Henry's commentary. And he says this about the Pharisees, and perhaps Pharisees and perhaps nearly an equal part. Now these differed very much from one another, and yet they ordinarily agreed well. This is not what I want. Okay, here we go. Sorry. The Pharisees were bigots, zealous for the ceremonies, not only those which God had appointed, but those which were enjoined by the tradition of the elders. They were great sticklers for the authority of the church and for enforcing obedience to its injunctions, which occasioned many quarrels between them and our Lord Jesus. But at the same time, they were very orthodox in the faith of the Jewish church concerning the world of spirits, the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. The Sadducees were deists, no friends to the Jewish church, concerning the world of spirits, the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. The Sadducees were deists, no friends. I just read that. The books of Moses they admitted as containing a good history and a good law, but had little regard to the other books of the Old Testament. And so we see where these guys from the Pharisees, and that's typically who Christ is calling out, the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes, if I understand it correctly, were typically Pharisees, but just because you were a Pharisee didn't mean you were a scribe. But the Pharisees were the very strict, very much, this is how we interpret it, and this is what you're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. And of course, we'll read here shortly, they of course didn't have to do any of it, but they employed it upon all their people. And the scribes, now the scribes in this case, as we read about the scribes were very well educated. They spoke multiple languages. You know, really, if it weren't for the scribes, as they were called out, the Old Testament, we have so much completeness of the Old Testament because of the scribes. They were trained to write it over and over and over again. But they were very well educated, and because of this, they became prideful because they were so much more intelligent, if you will, than everybody else, and they became prideful in their education, and that's who the scribes were. But they were typically related to the Pharisees, or they were Pharisees themselves. All right. Who did I leave out? We talked about the scribes. So the Pharisees, you get a picture of the Pharisees. Typically, they were, I'm sure they were all very arrogant. I don't know, do they, I'm sure if I asked somebody, they'd tell me they probably trace their history back to who they are as we see them today. But I'm not going to talk about that because that's not what we're going to talk about. So let's turn. Let's turn to Matthew 22. I've got little lines going here. I probably should know what they mean. I want to turn to Matthew 22, verses 23 and 24. Matthew 22, verses I think it's 23 and 24. Yeah, it's 23 and 24. The same day came to him the Sadducees. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children. Okay, and so we read here about the Sadducees, and the Sadducees are trying to trick Christ and ask him this question about marriage, and Christ answers it, and he astonishes them. And so the Sadducees were stood up by Christ. And then you go down to verse 34, and 34 says this, but when the Pharisees has heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Of course, they were happy about this, that he made the Sadducees look back. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, and they went on, and this is where we read. You read the same thing in Mark. You don't see this same passage of Scripture about the Pharisees, but this is where they don't tell us he's a Pharisee in Mark. And so it's basically the same Scripture, but we see that antagonism between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They hated each other, but they both wanted to destroy Christ. So let's turn now to Matthew 23 as we carry on this story. And I want to read verses 1 through 12. Chapter 23, verses 1 through 12, say this. Then spake Jesus to the multitude, saying to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on the men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men, that make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Now the phylacteries were little pieces of leather or whatnot. They would put scriptures in them and they could put them on their forehead. You read them about in the Old Testament. They'll put them on their arm. And so they make broad their phylacteries and they enlarge the borders of their garments. If we were to read in Numbers, you'd read about the people of Israel. God asked them to put these borders on their garments so they'd be seen as different from those that were around them, in my words. But and enlarge the borders of their garments. And so what they were trying to do is be seen of people. And they wanted people to see them, and that's why they would do this. You know, the whole, look at me, I'm a great guy. And carrying on here, and love and the and love the uppermost rooms of the feasts and the chief seats and the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all brethren, and no man, and call no man father upon earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whatsoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And so Christ speaking about these scribes and these Pharisees, and the point I'm getting to, you know, these were the chosen people at one point. When we go back in Scripture, we read obviously most of the Old Testament's about the Jewish people. They were his chosen people, and they still see themselves as this chosen people, but they're not following his word. They're filled with pride, and they're filled with arrogance. Very much remind me of the Zoramites we read about in Alma. And the Zoramites had lifted themselves up, and they saw them as these great people, and they would look down upon the poor and the needy in that group, but that's who these people were. They're filled with this pride and this arrogance, and when I think about these stories, when I bring up the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what I think about is, you know, I have no desire to be prideful. It's not my desire. It's not my desire to be mean or nasty or any of the things that I might do. But for some reason, I find a way to get there. And when I look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, these are people that never put themselves in check before the Lord, that never held themselves up towards that perfection that the Lord desired them to be. And they continued as they got more power, and they saw that people looked upon them. And, you know, he makes the comment about, you know, don't call yourself father or master. You know, we're not to look to anybody in this world above Jesus Christ. And that's what these men were doing. They saw themselves, well, in this case, they saw themselves almost as God on earth. And that's my interpretation. It doesn't say that, but that's really what they saw themselves, that they had all of this. You know, look at me. I'm the greatest person around here. I can teach you all of this stuff, and you need to listen to me, and you need to do all of these things that I tell you to do if you want to be right before God. So Christ put some woes on them. In verse 13, we continue to read. Verse 13 says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that enter to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye receive the greater damnation." And then that was 14, and then 15 and 16. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he was made, ye make him twofold, more the child of hell than yourselves. But woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple is nothing, but whatsoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor." You know, these people wanted to be seen. You know, they wanted to be seen as this great example. You know, they walked around and they would, I imagine them making these long and loud prayers that they wanted to be seen as this great, smart person. And the Lord was appalled by it, by them, and it disgusted him. And not that I see it, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying I see people doing that, but do we make ourselves close? Do I do that sometimes? You know, that sometimes I'm trying to be an example for other people, you know, and I don't concentrate on my prayer. I want to say the right things in the prayer so that they can hear me and be a good example. And that thought is really not a bad idea, but are we making sure that we pray what the Lord desires us to pray? You know, I don't see any wickedness at it, and you're trying to teach somebody how to pray. It's what we're supposed to do, but do it with an eye singleness to God, and not to be heard of men. Again, I don't mean that to be offensive at all. I think it's important that we are excellent examples to others. Let's turn to Mark 12. And I want to read 38 through 40. Mark 12:38 through 40 says this. And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplace, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive a greater damnation. We read part of that just now in Matthew 23. Read the same thing in Luke 20. Let's turn to Luke 15 now. Luke 15, 1 and 2. They drew near unto him the publicans and the sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with him. Eateth with them, and here they're complaining because Christ is among, he's not among them. He's not going to them, which are the elite. You know, surely if this is the Christ, he's going to be among us, right? He's going to be there. Instead, he's with these lowly publicans and these sinners, the people that weren't amongst them, that weren't amongst their little gang. If you will. And so they look down upon him. Luke 19, 1 through 7. And this is the story of Zacchaeus. I always like that name. We should have named Jacob Zacchaeus. 1 through 7, chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And so they were judgmental of him because they weren't part of this. And it's interesting. This is, as I was looking up thoughts about bullying, you know, I thought about these scriptures. You know, these men, these gangs of people who are united in their thoughts, they like to gang up on people. They like to be the top dog, and they would bully people, and they would force them to do things as you've seen them doing them. And that's how I got off on this. It wasn't a sermon on bullying at all, but I can see that. You know, I can see, I worry about this sometimes. That as we get with people, you know, it's nice to be here in this local. You know, I don't typically we all agree the same thing, you know, but you know, I guess my thought is sometimes, you know, if you get four or five of you together and you gang up on somebody that believes different, and I'm not seeing this, don't think that for a second, but you know, you gang up on somebody and you just hammer them with scriptures or something, you know, and they've got a different viewpoint, and it's almost a form of bullying. You know, and like I said, I don't often see this, but I have seen it take place. Don't get me wrong. And we got to be careful of that we don't become prideful in our scriptures, because it's not our scripture. It's the Lord's scripture. It's His word. And yes, we have our interpretations of it, but there are people, you know, even within the church that have different interpretations of things. And we have to be careful. You know, I'll say it 1,000 times. If you have the truth, you don't have to bully somebody into believing that, what you believe. If you have the truth, you can say it. And let them listen or not listen, and likewise, you know, we need to be listening to this. Let's turn to Matthew 11, 18 through 19. And it says, For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath the devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified in it, of her children. And here Christ is pointing out their hypocrisy. You know, John didn't do any of these things, and they didn't listen to him. And now he comes, and he does these things. He sits with the sinners, and he's eating, and he's drinking, and he's not fasting, and doing, and washing his hands, and doing the things that he believes, or they believe they should do. And it shows their hypocrisy. One way it's not right, one way it's the other right. And it's very hypocritical of them. And that's what he's calling them out for. One of the things, let me see here, I'm trying to find a good spot to tell the story, and I just wrote these backwards. In Matthew 9, 10 through 13, should have read this one first, but that's fine. Matthew 9, 10 through 13, it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house. Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician. Of course, he's being sarcastic there. But they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And of course, he's referencing to them and their pride. And his desire for us to be humble before him and realize that he is the reason we should be serving him, and we are well beneath him. One of the things I went back to, one of the things I was thinking about as I was putting this sermon together, and referencing Andy's sermon where he talked about some of these things, whether it be clothing and how we're dressed, and at some point I had it in my mind to do a sermon on dress and why we come dressed appropriately. And the reasons for this dressing, and we talk about etiquette and talk about these things, you know. And I find, not regarding dress, but I was back in Missouri for the reunion there. And it disturbed me because I'm one of these old goats. Somehow I've aged myself further along that I'm with Andy. I don't like to see, you know, this is a sanctuary. We invite the Lord in. And I want to see us, and I can go to scriptures, I want to see us dressed appropriately. I want us to not have drinks in the church building. All of these things, you know, this sanctuary, even though this is not holy, when we open this service up, we invite the Lord in here. And if we invite the Lord in here, don't we want to be clean? Don't we want to be pure before him? And these things are just symbolism. And like Andy said, you know, if someone, I think you said it this way, But what I found is as I was there at the service, and I saw red Gatorade sitting up in one of the pews, and I saw a couple people rock in with Quick Trip cups filled with pop, and they were coming into a service. I'm going, oh my goodness, someone's going to have a coronary if they see this. And there's a multitude of people, and I'm going, you know, I was distracted by it. And I couldn't believe it, you know, and I was convinced as I was putting the sermon together, I have to be careful, because where I am at spiritually is not where somebody else is at spiritually. And I'm not saying I'm this high king of spirituality. I know in my life my spirituality has fluctuated. But I can't look at somebody else and condemn them for their dress. And I'm distracted because they're not dressing the way that I want them to dress. I can't put my spirituality on somebody else and let it be a distraction to me. You know, that's an issue. And I know I'm not the only one here that gets distracted by these things. That we get upset because they're not doing what I want them to do. That we put our own form of desire and spirituality and some of these things that are really, in the grand scheme of things, not important. But from an etiquette standpoint, from the standpoint of brothers and sisters, from a standpoint of not offending people, we have to be careful. If I'm distracted because there's something I don't like, you know, if Aaron's beard, I don't think he should have a beard. I'm not saying that, you know. And all I can think about is Aaron's beard to this whole, you know, whole service. You know, I wish he'd shave that thing, you know. I'm distracted. And what does his beard have to do with anything towards the gospel of Christ? If someone walks in with a cup of coffee or a red Gatorade, I don't know about the red Gatorade thing. If that thing spills everywhere, it stains the same. Anyways, but I have to be careful not to be distracted. And then in turn, sometimes maybe I come to them and it's a distraction to them. Maybe I offend them because of some idea that they can't bring coffee in here or red Gatorade, you know, and all of a sudden they're upset and they're mad and whew, they're out the door. You know, I haven't done good. I may be right. I may be exactly right in what I did, but I didn't do it because I was distracted and upset about it. I remember a story, and forgive me, Uncle Gary, if you're watching, and I totally butcher this story, but one time, I remember this story being told, and I'm not sure if he told it. I think he did tell it, but it was at the East Local in Missouri, and this was probably before I was born. I don't know that for sure, but he was not an old man like he is now. But he had come into the service, and he had come home from work, and he was wearing jeans. And for some of you young people that don't know this, back in the old days, if you wore jeans or you wore anything like that, they'd take you outside and have a little talking with you. And I'm serious, they would do that because that's just the way it was then. I'm not saying it was right or wrong, but you just didn't do it then. And my Uncle Gary came walking in. He had just got off work and he wanted to be at the service. He was doing the right things. And someone correct me if they were at this service. But the brother knelt down for one of the prayers and he saw Uncle Gary come in. And right there in the prayer, he asked the Lord not to condemn Gary for his poor choice of clothing, for coming into the church. And I'm not sure what he said. That's me doing it. But in the prayer, you know, he told him how he should dress. Now, fortunately for my Uncle Gary, it was perfect for him because he took it with the right heart. He took it with the right heart that you know, he needs to be more careful with what he does. And maybe he could have taken the time because it offended that brother or whatever. But you know, those old crusty people back then did not take a lot of nonsense, that's for sure. And I see some of you laughing because you've probably been part of it. No, I didn't mean it that way. I'm glad y'all laughing. Correct me, okay? But it's a very good point, okay? They were young people who saw the crusty old people, okay? I apologize. That's not what I meant, but you know, but my point is this, you know, we have to be careful and not be distracted by things that we see are wrong. You know, as I said it like five times, you know, we can't force our spirituality on somebody else where we stand. You know, I get jealous of Gordon because he's retired now, and I remember when he was working, but Gordon's always digging in the scriptures and coming down to my house and, you know, boom, 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 get, you know, and I'm just going, you know, I wish I had some more time to dig in it with him, but he's got time and he's traveling, and so he's embraced in the script, he's reading a lot of scriptures. What is that word? He's reading a lot of scriptures, but, you know, we have to be careful with this. You know, don't be prideful in how you direct somebody. There's times when the Lord will put something on your heart to maybe have a talk with them, but do it with joy. Do it as a brother or sister. Do it as you would have your neighbor treated before you. And show them that love that I know that we can show our brothers and sisters. Let's turn to, where am I at? Did I read Luke 11 yet? 37? Did I read that yet? All right. Let's go to Luke 11. And I'm going to start on verse 37 and probably read through 54. And it says this, "And he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and he sat down to meet. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye, Pharisee, make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also, but rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye..." I'm going to stop right there for a second. You know, and so here's this man. That was concerned. You know, we can go back and we could have read, and I forget whether it's in Ezra or Nehemiah where it talks about the, I think it's in Nehemiah where he talks about the sins of these people and what they were doing wrong and their pride in the nation of Israel. They're so caught up in all of these steps that they had to take, just like this individual here. He was so caught up by the fact that he needed to wash his hands, you know, and Christ was trying to explain to him, you're so worried about these little steps that you're not worried about what's inside you. What's in your heart, that you're not filled with pride and anger and looking down upon people. Continuing here, I don't know where I stopped. Let's start at 41. But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the markets. And woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. You know, do we find ourselves, and I'll tell you, I'm guilty of it. You know, as Andy said this morning, I'm preaching to myself. You know, I see things, you know, we see things that people aren't good at. I used to get upset about people being late to church. Drove me crazy. You know, I was taught if you're 15 minutes early, you can never be late. You know, and it doesn't matter how much arguing did. Well, what if I was in an accident? Well, then you're not 15 minutes early now, are you? You did it wrong. You should have started an hour earlier, and then you wouldn't have been in an accident. And that was his point. It used to bug me. You know, it just drove me nuts to see people walk in early, late. I would get upset about it, you know, and I know there's some of you guilty of it sitting right here, you know, and you're feeling my wrath even though you don't see it. You know, and here I am worried about people that struggle with lateness, and I've got my own issues to deal with. And yeah, you know, I can look at it and go, you know, you shouldn't be late, and I can back it up scripturally. But if I look at it in disdain towards a brother or sister, you know, am I doing any good? Am I any better than a Pharisee or a Sadducee? And I'm really not. I'm not. And that's what he's telling these Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, as I said before, if you're upset about something I'm saying, I'm not meaning to say that you're in such, and maybe you are, but you're not in the state of a Pharisee or Sadducee. I don't see it to that extent. Maybe you are, and maybe if you're feeling guilty right now and your seats are burning or something, you've got some issues to deal with. But I point this out almost to an extreme so that we can get our hearts right before the Lord. And then we can put ourselves in a place that we can be of service to the Lord. And when we see somebody walking in late with a red Gatorade bottle, wearing their tennis gear, we're not going to be upset. We're going to be focused on the scripture and upon the gospel of what he desires of us. Let me see if I want to read this one. Yeah, let's turn here. Let's do to Matthew 16. I want to read 5 and 6, and then I'm going to skip to 12. And this is Matthew 16, 5 and 6. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then as you skip down, you see the disciples talking amongst themselves, you know, going, oh, you know what? What's going on? And then in 12, they understood that how he had bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so they themselves were a little worried for themselves, but he was telling them, you know, that these are not men. And they obviously were revered at that time. They were not men to be followed after. All right, handful of scriptures here left. Let's turn Matthew 7, 1 and 2. And it says this, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. I'll comment on that in a second. Let's turn to 3 Nephi. This is page chapter 5. 3 Nephi chapter 5. And I want to read 66 to 72. And this is on page 636, and it starts with 66. And behold, I have given unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, that she shall believe in me, and that you repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, you have commandments before you, the law is fulfilled, therefore come unto me, and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that hath been said of them of old time, And it is written before you that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment of God. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And Raca says means worthless, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if ye shall come unto me or desire to come unto me and rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother and first be reconciled to thy brother. And then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you. You know, both those passages are scriptures. You know, if I find myself being judgmental against my brothers and sisters, it's not so much I'm judging a problem. You know, if I see something in the wrong, and I'm not talking about clothing and stuff, but I see someone in the midst of a sin, or the Lord gives me a sin that I'm to understand to that something, and instead of helping a brother or sister, I become this prideful, arrogant, you know, I'm better than you because you have this sin in your life and I don't. You know, if that's my attitude, I'm going to be judged with that same attitude. You know, I might be this, and I hope I am, this righteous person before the Lord. And I may do a lot of good things for the Lord, but I can ruin it with that type of attitude where I look upon my brothers and sisters with disdain and look upon anybody with disdain. What right do we have to look across at any of our neighbors, whether in the Church of Christ or not, and look at them with disdain? You know, we should look at them if we feel the need, if we judge that there's an error there, that's a problem there. We judge that someone needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can tell them about it. We can be prayerful about it. But to judge them and look at them with disdain is wrong. I want to turn to James chapter 4. And this will be my closing scripture. James chapter 4, 1 through 12. And I'll stop a few times in here, so. I'm sorry. James chapter 4, did I already say that? I feel like I've repeated myself 10 times. You guys throw something at me if I get off here. 1 through 12. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, the war in your members? Ye lust, and have not. Ye kill, and ye desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. You ask, and ye receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain that the Spirit dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, he's talking to us now. He's not talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's talking about us, that we're supposed to clear our hearts, to look within ourselves and find those things that are sinful, that are wrong in our lives, and make changes to them. Verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh of his evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy, and who art thou that judgest another? I know I've preached probably about that very thing before. We have to be careful. We are to be able to look around and recognize things that are wrong. You know, I think it's important to look at those things. But if we take it to the point of where we judge somebody, then we are sinners. We're going to be judged by that same judgment. That same condemnation will come upon us. And so we have to be careful with our thoughts. We'll destroy ourselves. You'll bring yourself to destruction. if you can't look out in any crowd and not find 100,000 faults of our brothers and sisters. I take joy in the Lord. He can make our burdens light if we desire them to be. He can touch our hearts if we'll allow Him to. He's always there for us. He's always willing to give to us if we'll reach out to receive Him. But if we're guilty, if we're caught in a sin, we're not going to, you know, it's going to be hard to receive that blessing of Him. And so it's important that we are careful. But this night, you know, I talk about loving thy neighbor. That we're to love them and care for them and pray for them and help them and not look at them in disdain and pridefulness as the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. Thank you for your time.